T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sent a letter to the legislature on January 10th concerning Ruthie's Law. And I guess I just wanted to acknowledge the letter that you sent to us and to discuss that. I know a lot of us are new, and I would just want some more explanation and for you to address the letter that you sent us personally.
Great, I appreciate that. Also, too, I want to thank the letter from your body previously on this issue. I'd also like to introduce Amanda Benner. She's the long-term care coordinator within Senior Services. She supervises the employees that work in New York Connects, which is basically a hotline for all things senior and other questions that people have. And she has a lot of caseworkers, and they help families determine what is the best course going forward when usually an older family member is at that point where they need to consider nursing home care, at-home care, etc. So I wanted to bring her here with me today. Ruthie's Law was adopted by this body in July of 2017. The main intent of the law was to ensure that families were notified quickly when there was a reportable incident at the nursing home, either between a client and a staff member or a client and another client, and that reportable incident is something that was required the person who was injured to have to go to a facility outside of the nursing home to be treated. The reporting is similar to that is required by the New York State Health Department, which is the licensing agency for nursing homes. And the other part of the law is that the nursing homes report to us on a semi-annual basis in June for the first half of the year and in January for the second half of the year. And they're supposed to identify what the reportable incidents were and give us some of the basic facts of what happened. So I became commissioner, as you know, back in May of 2019, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about Ruthie's Law and also wanted to experience some of the reporting cycles before I really changed anything. I began contacting the 35 nursing homes across Erie County to introduce myself and build a rapport, ensure awareness, and make sure they knew the benefits of reporting Ruthie's Law, which really is how I see it, is to increase awareness and transparency, and also ensure accountability. So since I made these calls, I've gotten 4 additional nursing homes to report the reports that were due back in June. So there are 17 in now, so we've surpassed the 50% mark, and I believe we will be climbing. I'm still continuing to make these calls. Amanda and I also, I don't know if you've seen, but on the county's website, we strengthened the language that's on the Ruthie's Law website, and we really wanted to increase transparency and accountability to the reporting nursing homes. Some of the reasons for not reporting have been employee turnover, unawareness, unclear expectations, and duplication of New York State Department of Health reporting. Our goal going forward is to obtain all the reports of the willing nursing homes and determine which ones have refused to comply, and then I'll reach out to the county attorney's office to go forward.
Legislator LaRico.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave, I appreciate that you're relatively new to the Senior Services Commissioner position and that you are getting up to speed with it. But are we going to just keep making nice phone calls, or are we going to start actually using the enforcement tools that this body passed unanimously to enact Ruthie's Law?
Well,
it was passed with great fanfare by the county executive and the body, touting that how we were going to protect seniors, and picking up the phone and saying, hey, could you please comply, isn't cutting it.
Well, I appreciate your comment, and I thank you for it. But like I said, the phone calls have been going well. Like I said, employee turnover was the most common reason for the reports not coming in. So I would have to say that the phone calls have been productive, and I want to continue those until I can identify a complete list of those that have flat out refused to comply, and then I will contact the county attorney's office.
Why aren't we using the enforcement mechanisms? Why aren't we instituting the fines on the ones that haven't complied in years?
I think that's more of a legal question, and I can't answer that.
Well, this body passed a law with fines attached for violations, and it tasked the Senior Services Department to enforce the law. Why has that not happened?
We have been enforcing the law. I don't believe, with the way the law is written, that I, as commissioner, have the authority to levy fines.
I still have the floor. Why is that? Have you had conversations with the county attorney? I sent you a letter several months ago on this, and your letter doesn't address that. It doesn't address that you're not able to, or that you don't believe that you're unable to enforce those fines.
Well, like I said, I'm trying to take more of a softball approach and identify who wants to play hardball and then play hardball.
Well, taking a softball approach would be great, but that wasn't the purpose of the law or the intention. The purpose of the law and the intention of the law was to go after nursing homes that weren't complying. The county executive stood up there, the legislators as well, saying that this law is going to protect seniors. It's not. And, you know, this is a problem with this county. Laws are passed that we don't enforce. You know, I can go to Wegmans and I can get body wash that has microbeads. We passed that saying that we were the first ever in the country to do that. We passed laws with regard to consumer protection that have no real teeth and have no real enforceability. And then we passed this Ruthie's law that we actually have a way to enforce it. We have a fine mechanism. And it's not being done. And I get that, you know, it's new and maybe we want to make some calls and we don't want to ruffle feathers. But if the reason the law was passed was because a woman was severely beaten and died, and we want to prevent that from happening again, use the tools we have in our belt. If those tools include fines, fine people. Fine these organizations. Calling them and sending letters that might be a little more strongly worded, don't cut it. You know, it's foolish. We have the resources to do it. Do it. And if we can't, if the county attorney says we can't, the county attorney should come here and tell us why. Or if you have communications from the county attorney that say that you can't do that, I want to see them. Something needs to be done.
Legislator Vinyl.
Yes, I have. Actually, I received a letter from one of the nursing homes, and they forwarded me a letter from the New York State HFA from their head attorney, Mr. Murray, and they believe that complying with nursing law is not in tandem with the New York State health law.
That they are able to get a lot of, by state law, a lot of investigative things requiring them to answer questions, look in their facility, talk to people, et cetera. Has your department made any steps to help families report nursing homes to help them fill out the form and report it? Because I've found a lot of families, number one, don't know that they have that right to do it or need help doing it themselves. But as far as that, if there's an issue with regard to the enforcement, because of the state having the right to do certain things at nursing homes, can you use this Ruthie's law to have people, when they're reported incidents or not reported incidents, to help them actually report it? I mean, part of Ruthie's law is to notify families that something bad happened, and that's a different kind of a thing. Like, Ruthie's law wouldn't have prevented probably this lady from getting injured. It's about the family wasn't notified of it for so long, you know? But as far as for the helping these families report these nursing homes so that bad nursing homes can be closed or changed or whatever, I mean, is there a way that your department could help the families, actually just file or file a complaint themselves on your own behalf?
There are when family members do call in to the New York Connects number and speak with caseworkers, and they do talk about a problem with the nursing home, they are given assistance on how to report to the New York State Health Department, and they're also given the number of the local New York State Ombudsman for nursing homes.
What about, though, going further and actually, like, just filling out the form for them online?
Our caseworkers will go out and do on-site visits to assist people with anything that they need done.
Okay. I mean, but just even just taking the information and reporting it right then and there in the person's name, because some people don't have, like, an older person who's got a loved one in a nursing home, doesn't necessarily have access even to internet or computer, some of them, or don't feel comfortable just filling out, and there's no paper form anymore. You have to do it online, you know, for the complainer.
Yes, I can reply to that. Our case managers on New York Connects will go out into the field, will go to clients, caregivers' home, wherever they want us to be, and we have laptops, technology, printers, scanners, so we can definitely assist with that.
All right, and is that process that you're doing, is it helping to implement this Ruthie's Law a little bit, or is it not? I mean, the spirit of it, or is it, I'm just curious, is that something you've always done?
Well, what happens is this, is when the state receives those complaints, the state will investigate some of those complaints, and I'm not 100% positive what their standard is. They do investigations. But if it was a reportable event for Ruthie's Law and the nursing home was reporting, we would find out during the next event or during the next reporting cycle.
Right. And then as far as who do you think are the nursing homes that have been violating that the most?
Violating what?
Not reporting and not complying with Ruthie's Law.
Probably the largest offender would be the Elderwood.
Pardon?
Elderwood, because they have they have six locations. So if we could get Elderwood alone, that would be a huge increase.
And as far as, like, did you compare, like, the ratings on that state system that ranked nursing homes on those different categories, you know? Does that go along with the failure to comply? Because I think Elderwood isn't, like, the worst of the
right.
nursing homes as far as on the outcomes.
I haven't seen a relationship with that. Even some of the five-star facilities aren't complying. So.
Any else, huh?
Yeah, so the ones that are rated with outcome as the lesser nursing homes are more compliant on this Ruthie's Law than the ones that are rated higher? I mean, just because of...
Not necessarily.
Reason. Yeah, I don't think there's an exact correlation.
Right.
I think it's just the ones... The way I see it is the nursing homes that believe that part of Ruthie's Law is to increase transparency and demonstrate that they are support that, they choose to report, and the other ones choose not to report, which is unfortunate. Because I've also tried to motivate some of the nursing homes by letting them know that when Amanda's caseworkers are talking to what would be their potential customers, they often refer them to the Ruthie's Law website and also to the nursing home rating page as well. And so that becomes information that they use to decide where is the best place for their family member. So those that are reporting are reaping some benefit.
Mm-hmm. Chair Baskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. I think my first question, Madam Chair, I'd like to ask for a response from my colleagues who served in the legislature prior to 2018. So I guess Legislator Hardwick, Minority Leader Legislator Mills. Was there a charter revision or something that happened where the county attorney had to sign off? There was a point where the county attorney didn't have to sign off on local laws? And did this law pass during a time where you didn't necessarily need the county attorney's input?
Well, I can answer that.
Okay.
So I'm not sure the timeline of it all, but the only change that was made was that the county attorney has to sign off as to form, not to the enforceability of the law, just that the form is acceptable. So that change, even if it had happened after the passage of Ruthie's Law, which I don't remember if it did or not, would have no bearing on the enforceability aspect of the law.
And when you say form, we check with the county attorney, or at least I do in laws that I've proposed, to make sure that the law that this body is putting forth does not preempt or conflict with any current standing laws.
You might do that, and I think that's a good practice. The law, the change only is the county attorney approving as to form, meaning.
What does form mean? That's just my question.
Meaning that the language of the law is acceptable.
Acceptable. Meaning.
Just to the form that the law is as written, a valid local law.
But minority leader, we have a practice where. I've even heard you say sometimes we're waiting on the county attorney's opinion. We're waiting on the county attorney's opinion. So it is a general practice of this body to get an opinion of the county attorney to make sure that the law is not just in proper form, but that it's a law that is we don't check with the county attorney.
The only thing the county attorney approves is the law's form. I don't believe, and I never will believe, and I have said many times before on the record, probably prior to you being here, we don't need the county attorney to approve the language of the law and its enforceability, because we are a separate body of government. If we pass a law, the courts would determine whether or not it's enforceable, not the county attorney.
I'm speaking about opinion. So no county attorney made an opinion on Ruthie's law,
no, and
be it form or enforceability or anything.
Madam Chair, I believe the county attorney is the one who drafted Ruthie's law. It was a law that was proposed by the county executive that he gained sponsors for in the legislature. So the county attorney is the one who drafted Ruthie's law. I don't want to encroach on your time, but to my prior comments about fining versus sending letters or making calls, I think we should fine if they're not in compliance, and if the nursing homes have a problem with it, they can then challenge our ability to fine in court.
Mm.
This body, you know, prior to your arrival, this body passed a law with an enforcement provision. Not using that enforcement provision basically flies in the face of the intentions of this body.
Okay, so I guess that would be the proper channels if we enforce the law that we passed, and then those that are not complying with the law needed to push back via court. That's what they would do if the law conflicts with the public health law. Commissioner, in your professional experience or opinion, does Ruthie's law, like, why did you get that letter? Does Ruthie's law conflict with New York State's public health law in terms of the fines and the subpoena portion of it?
That's a question I can't answer. I don't know. That's more of a legal question. I think that would be more for the county attorney to answer.
Is that the reason why you're not enforcing it?
No, I think I've explained that I'm trying to finish my approach that I'm doing now to identify the nursing homes that have flat out refused to comply for whatever reason. Then I want to take that list of nursing homes, go to the county attorney, and move forward.
Out of the nursing homes that are not responding in the way that you'd like them to, how many sent you a letter like the one you just brought up earlier?
Well, that one came from Elderwood, so that encompasses six nursing homes right there.
Are they saying that that Ruthie's law preempts state or federal or any other structured laws in the New York State, specifically, I guess, the public health law?
Basically, what the letter is saying is that they believe that Ruthie's law is in contradiction to the New York State health law.
Okay. Do you have has any of the other nursing homes said that to you?
There is one that felt Ruthie's law would be a violation of HIPAA, but it's spelled right out in Ruthie's law. We don't want any patient identifying information, so I don't agree with that opinion as well. And then there was one opinion that I was given, and they believe that it would make them more open to a lawsuit if they comply with Ruthie's law, which again, I don't believe that either.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. as much as I understand the minority leader's point of it's our job, the law passed, it's standing, we have to enforce it, and whatever the consequences that may come out of it, if they could be have us end up in court, that's noted. But if there was a willingness of some of the members of this body to entertain more research before we get to that point, because so many of these nursing homes have come forward and they believe that our body's law conflicts with the public health law of the state, perhaps we want to have a conversation with the county attorney. Whether or not we have to, maybe we don't want to end up in court with this or have it have a negative light shined on this body for passing something that conflicts with the state law. Maybe we want a county attorney's opinion. Maybe we want to do some research. I'm not saying not enforce it, but we do want to know where this law stands in terms if it truly conflicts with New York State public health law or not. That's just something I'm throwing out to my colleagues to think about.
Well, and
thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, and I do have, I will recognize everybody, but I do, I understand that whenever you create a law, it is a process. And I do, I mean, the education process, educating the nursing facilities about the awareness and the accountability issues, mm-hmm. I think was you've done that. The implementation where you have it clearly stated on the website, the letters are clearly written to nursing homes. There has been some increase in nursing homes reporting, but the enforcement issue I think is something that we really, I think we need to address as a body, because we are responsible, I believe, to protect our most vulnerable individuals. And I think as a committee, we need to continue to look at that. I will recognize Legislator Mills.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was here in 2017, and I believe I was chairman at that time.
I think so.
And I come from a business background and a lot of municipal government experience. I can tell you that I would never have voted or encouraged my colleagues to vote for this law unless it was had teeth in it. And back then, the county executive stood there and said, look at this, this should go through. We need this desperately, and we all agreed. And he sent it down to the legislature. Now, you got to remember something. The county attorney represents not only the county executive and the administration, but this body here. He is our legal guardian. And Mike Saragusso, I spoke to him about this law, and it has teeth in the law. So it's a matter of enforcement, in my personal view. It needs to be done immediately. Now, you know, Dave, I like your momentum on this, you know, the soft approach. But quite frankly, there's got to be a very short timeline in this to get this done. And then we start to aggressively go after these people, because and let the county attorney fight it out in court if we have to. That's his job. But when we pass these laws, like the microbead, I'm shocked to see we have microbead still in the store. That law we passed some years ago, but I think we were preempted after we passed it. The state passed the law, I believe, and the federal government, I think, finally did outlaw microbeads in facial things and toothpaste too. But getting back to Ruthie's law, it was a hot button item, and we had a lot of media participation in this. So it has to be enforced. If we're not going to enforce it aggressively, then let's rescind the law, which I don't think anybody here wants to do. But we got to remember, the county attorney represents this body here. So we formulate a law, the county attorney should be helping us to construct a law so it has teeth and he can enforce it if we go to court. Thank you.
And I have you on the list. It's unfortunate because I don't believe the law is flawed. I don't even believe that the actions you've taken are flawed. the people who are not complying, I mean, those are the people we really should be talking about, because I think it's shameful. They're reporting to the state. Why can't they just follow up and report as the law says they should to the county?
And that's often part of the conversation that I have with these nursing homes, and I've often been able to convince them that if it's the same reporting, well, why would it hurt?
Right. You know. Legislator Johnson.
One question. With this Ruthie's law, once you do your due diligence, you go out to the nursing homes, and you know, you gather all your information, and you might find some that are still not compliant. Will you enforce the law as it is intended with the fines?
Well, I appreciate that, Legislator Johnson, but again, I don't think I have the power to levy fines. I believe the county attorney would have to request subpoenas, as I understand it. That
so
would be
you,
the next
will,
step.
Will the office do that? Will you guys, in conjunction with the county attorney, will you guys request subpoenas to implement this law?
Well, as I said before, I want to take the list of the ones that have flatly out, you know, told me they will not comply, and I want to take that list and go to the county attorney.
So, Commissioner, that is your next step. That is your mm-hmm. next step. Taking those non-compliant nursing homes mm-hmm. and going to the town, our attorney, our county attorney, and following, I guess, the letter of the law, so to speak, as it's written.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Legislator Larigo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave, it's interesting. I hear a lot of opinions coming from you. You know, you've gotten the letter from Elderwood stating that it's their opinion that you can't enforce the law, that it conflicts with New York state law. You take that opinion. Other opinions you don't take. This body didn't pass a law for the Senior Services Commissioner to interpret. We passed a law for the Senior Services Commissioner to enforce. Sitting here today and telling us that you aren't going to enforce the law because it's your opinion or belief that you don't have the legal authority to do so doesn't fly with me. The most important thing about Ruthie's Law is protecting seniors and getting nursing homes in compliance. The law was passed 2 years and 7 months ago. They have had enough time for a softball approach. We're at nearly 3 years. I've sat in this body and heard legislators and the county attorney say, "We're not afraid of lawsuits." The county attorney sat here when we were debating the merits of the microbead enforcement, and he said, "Let us be sued. I would love to have that challenged in court, our ability to pass this law." And yet, you're waiting on the county attorney's okay, that you, as far as I'm aware, haven't even asked for yet, to actually enforce it. What I want to see, as someone who voted for the law and passed the law, I want to see the enforcement happening now. And if a nursing home out there wants to say, "We don't have the authority to do so," or "This conflicts with state law," or "You can't find me," let them challenge it in court. Because the softball approach isn't working. The only thing that's going to work is actually enforcing the law. So if we want to be serious about protecting seniors, if we want to be serious about getting nursing homes in compliance, start levying fines. You sat here earlier on an item that was going to help a certain subset of seniors. Nobody was able to answer what it actually did. Here we have a law that helps seniors, another subset of seniors, seniors in nursing homes. We know exactly what it can do to protect them. We know exactly what your office is supposed to be doing to enforce it. And rather than enforcing a law that's been on the books for almost 3 years, we're making nice phone calls. The next time that you come into this body or this chamber to talk about it, I want to hear that fines have been levied. And you know what? If a nursing home wants to challenge us in court, I welcome it. Start levying the fines.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate you coming today. You have our support. I mean, you're hearing loudly and clearly that you have the support of the legislature, and you know, we will communicate with our attorney and let's get moving on this. So thank you for coming today.
I appreciate all your feedback.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.